You're listening to Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret. Veronica Rickard is out today. Coming up, we'll learn about Madison 365 Academy, an effort to help recruit and train the next generation of journalists here in Wisconsin. First, we're taking a look beyond the Midwest and into the southern part of the states for this week's Food Friday. For anyone that's a fan of comfort food, we'll have everything from classics like mac and cheese to fusion flavors like curried and fried cauliflower. Lazarus Lynch joins us now. He draws on flavors from the American South and around the world. He's a chef, and you can catch him online and on TV, where he calls himself the son of a Southern chef. We've got some recipes posted, including some of his videos on the Central Time Facebook page. You may know him from his work on Taste Made or the Food Network. Lazarus, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Thank you so much, Rob, for having me. It's great to talk to you.
Well, clearly family is an important part of your cooking heritage. You're the son of a Southern chef, as you say. What did you learn from your parents? What's their background when it comes to food?
Sure. Well, so my father, absolutely, family's incredibly important to me. My father was a chef from Alabama, so he grew up learning how to cook from his mother and his grandmother, who were both phenomenal cooks and housekeepers and beauticians. And so my father was always very connected to soulful cooking, and he learned it in the South, and he moved to New York City when he was a little boy and lived here, worked in his own businesses, and finally opened up a restaurant in his latter part of his career. And my mother is actually from Guyana, so north of Brazil, from South America, and she lived there for about 13 years, and when she was 13, then moved to London and stayed there for quite a while. She stayed there probably over a decade and then moved to New York City, met my father. They lived in the same apartment complex, and then got married, and they had me and my other brothers and sisters. So family has always been a very, very big part of where food comes from for me. My mother, obviously being from Guyana, I experienced a lot of Guyanese food, and I also experienced foods that were traditional in Europe, you know, such as the pork sausage rolls, and tea was very popular. Every day we drank tea, and then obviously my father, who was from the South, mac and cheese, fried chicken, catfish, you name it. It was in our household every single day. It was a part of our culture. It was a part of who we are. So for me, family is an incredibly important part of what I do, and it's an important part of celebrating food, and that's what I do every single day.
I'm just trying to picture what family dinner looked like in your household growing up, because that's a lot of influences there.
Absolutely. It could be, you know, family dinners are interesting. During the week, it was pretty simple. You know, my mom did most of the cooking. My father was an entrepreneur, so he owned retail stores. He owned 99-cent stores, and then finally the restaurant, which was his last business. But my mother was pretty much the matriarch in terms of creating the food for the household during the week. And it was very, very simple things. Spaghetti and meatballs, really Americanized foods. And every now and then she would do something like a saltfish or codfish served with rice, or something really, really humble like a corned beef out of a can that she would flavor up and spice up. Because the truth is my parents didn't have a lot of money, and so they had to make every little bit stretch and feed four hungry children. So my mother really made it work, and on the weekends, specifically on Sundays, it was really like Thanksgiving. My father would create everything from his macaroni and cheese to his coleslaw, which was passed down from his grandmother and great-grandmother, collard greens, and the like. And so Sundays were really, I guess, the most important dinner days for us in terms of the quantity of food that was prepared.
When did you know you wanted to go into being a chef and preparing food and inventing food in a lot of ways?
Right. Well, you know, it wasn't until my dad opened the restaurant when I was 10 years old that I started to think of food as a career. My father had always cooked. He cooked with us all the time. I remember when I was probably 7 years old, my mother had gone on a trip and she took my brothers and sisters with her, and I was home with dad. And I remember it being like 12 o'clock at night and my father waking me up saying, "Hey, do you want to go in the kitchen and cook something?" And that memory of creating something at midnight with my dad as a young kid really, I think, stuck with me even until this day. It was always about connecting with my father. And so that's how I viewed food. And when my father opened the restaurant, I saw it as a way for him to make money, and I saw it as a career opportunity. And quite frankly, I just loved the rush of a kitchen. I love the urgency of making large pans of whatever for customers. And so I worked with him in the restaurant. I did everything from stock the shelves to ring the register up, restock sodas to helping him peel veg. I mean, you know, if he needed the help, I just did it. And I fell in love with it. My siblings and I, we were sort of my father's first employees. And I was the one that stuck with it. And I fell in love with it.
We're talking to Lazarus Lynch, a.k.a. the son of a Southern chef. We've got some of his recipes. We've got recipes and videos linked on the Central Time Facebook page. I want to get into one of those now. Get us a little hungry, Lazarus. Macaroni and cheese. Okay. Everybody's had that. You've got macaroni and cheese with Gouda, and that's one of the recipes we've got up there. Why A, it sounds awesome. B, why Gouda?
Mm-hmm. Well, exactly. Everyone's had mac and cheese a thousand ways. And I thought, I want to do something a little bit more interesting. Growing up, we've always had mac and cheese very traditionally. My father used about 4 to 6 cheeses, but they were cheeses that you could find in your grocery store. I worked at a cheese shop when I was in Buffalo, New York for college. I went to Buffalo State College. And I worked at this cheese shop, and I learned about every kind of cheese. And Gouda was actually the cheese I fell in love with the most. I thought it was just such a brilliant flavor. It was complex. It had a lot of different flavor profiles that could be paired well with many different things, including sweet foods like pears. So Gouda for me was an idea to let me try to jazz up this standard classic mac and cheese that, as you said, everyone already has had in their life, and do something a little different. Now, what was great about the Gouda that I chose to use was that it actually had a marbling of bacon, which was smoked.
Whoa.
So the Gouda itself was smoked, and there was bacon throughout the whole pound of Gouda. So, I mean, you're talking about comfort food at its highest, right?
Big time. And I'll say, Lazarus,
comforting.
I love Gouda, but I just eat it. You know, maybe on a cracker or with bread or with an apple or something like that. I don't know that I've ever cooked with it. Any secrets to making it, you know, work well, make a good, the cheesy sauce in the mac and cheese?
Oh, yeah. So, you know, I do a classic mac and cheese. Well, first of all, I make macaroni and cheese many different ways. Sometimes I will do just a bechamel sauce, which is a classic French sauce, one of the 5 mother sauces. And so what you can do is melt some butter and add some flour, basically equal parts flour to butter. Get that nice and cooked down. Add some milk. Add the Gouda or the Gruyere or whatever you're using. Grate it up. And it becomes this delicious cheese sauce. And I really find that when you melt the Gouda cheese, it just has this really nice, luscious quality to it. It stays really pure. It's a great melting cheese. It's also, like you said, it's a great cheese to pair with a cracker or an apple or a pear, things that are classic like that. So the way that I prepared it in the video doesn't use the bechamel method. It's actually a method my father used, which was using eggs, so large eggs, and carnation milk out of a can that you whip together, and you add a little bit of melted butter in that, season that up with salt, pepper, and garlic powder, and add the cheese to that, and it melts inside of the oven. So there are tons of different directions you can go with the melting cheese effect, but Gouda is a great, great choice for melting cheese.
And this Gouda mac and cheese, I think a mac and cheese is a side dish a lot of times. What would that go well with?
Well, you know, Gouda mac and cheese, really, you can eat it by itself and be quite happy. But
sure,
if you wanted to pair it with something else, you could totally do a collard green. I love to do a combination of kale greens and Swiss chard and collards or turnip greens. I've got a great turnip greens recipe on my website and social channels. So it goes really well with those kinds of things. And also, people love to eat it with a piece of chicken, piece of roasted chicken, or a piece of fried chicken, or a piece of barbecue chicken, or barbecue ribs. So macaroni and cheese is one of those delicious, comforting foods that you'd be happy to eat it by itself, or happy to eat it next to a salad to make you feel a little bit more balanced about it, or go right all in and just go comfort all the way with some fried chicken.
Now, we're in Wisconsin, of course. We're familiar with our cheese here. Let's go to one we're not as familiar with. We're not in grits territory in Wisconsin. And another link we have up on the Central Time Facebook page is to your shrimp and grits recipe. First of all, for a Wisconsinite who hasn't encountered a lot of grits in my life, give me grits 101. What is it? How do you cook it?
Sure. So, you know, grits is a very interesting thing. I was actually having a conversation with a fellow Southern cook about the difference between grits and polenta, for example. So I grew up on a white classic grit, and grits are cornmeal that you know, that are grind down, and it's traditionally a little bit finer than, say, it's a little bit, excuse me, it's less fine than your traditional polenta or yellow cornmeal. So it's got a little bit of a grit taste. And so a delicious way to cook it for me growing up is we did milk or water, a combination of both, or stock. And you add a little bit of grits. Once you bring that to a boil, you add a little bit of the grit a little bit at a time until it gets nice and thick, and then you finish it with butter, salt, and pepper. So as a kid, I always loved a sweet grit. I just didn't like the savory grit. So the way I like to think about grits is the thing you eat for breakfast. Polenta is the thing you eat for dinner. And, you know, polenta is a great substitute for grits. I, in fact, make it all the time. But I don't think sometimes people equate a yellow cornmeal to a white cornmeal as a grit. So I like to think of them as one and the same, but have different flavor variations. But that's a very standard way of making a grit. I love adding a little bit of heavy cream in there to give it a little bit more body and give it a little bit more luster, if you will. Those are grits. And it's really, really delicious with shrimp, as you know, is a very classic Southern dish, shrimp and grits, salmon croquettes, which my father prepared all the time with some grits on the side with a little bit of butter on top. So it really goes well with seafood. And I think the Southerners really love to put grits with their seafood.
I'm talking to Chef Lazarus Lynch right now about some traditional and contemporary Southern-inspired cooking. And you can join in at 800-642-1234. Are you from the South, or is your family? What are some of your favorite food traditions from there? Maybe ones that you're trying to help pass on here in the Midwest. Call in with your favorite recipes. How do you like to cook, serve, and eat mac and cheese or grits? Call 800-642-1234 or post on the Central Time Facebook page. We've got a lot of links to recipes that Lazarus has up, some recipes, some videos along the way, too. We'll pick up the conversation, maybe hear from you here on Central Time. You're listening to Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret. We're picking up our conversation on Southern-style cooking with a twist. We've got Lazarus Lynch with us, and we want you to join in at 800-642-1234. Tell us about your favorites from the South. Is there a food that you miss if you're from there, that you enjoy if you've traveled down there? How do you incorporate those flavors into your cooking here in the Midwest? Maybe you have your own way of putting an international spin on your favorite comfort food. We just heard about that Gouda macaroni and cheese. Do you have your own way to jazz up the traditions like mac and cheese? Are you a fan of grits? Do you have questions about how to cook Southern-style food for Lazarus? Call in now at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Or post and find some recipes on the Central Time Facebook page. So Lazarus, you are adapting some of your dad's recipes, among other things, from the South, and you're looking often at international influences. What kind of things do you like to try to mix in with the traditional Southern cooking?
Yes, and you know, international food to me is brilliant, and it's like learning about your friends next door, because really I think food brings the world together, and I love every time I have the opportunity to experience a different culture. So I lived in China, in Beijing, for 3 months in 2011. I was there doing a study abroad internship, and I fell in love with Asian cuisine and Asian flavors. So I oftentimes find myself picking up a bottle of sriracha, or I'll find myself in the grocery store buying some kimchi just to have on hand. And so I decided, you know what, I'm doing a lot of the Southern food. Why don't I try to pair these two cuisines together? Very different, very unusual, but let me see how this goes. So I decided I was going to use a classic rib. My father made ribs a lot. So I was going to take a rib, pair it with some honey and miso. And what I got out of that was a miso honey rib, which is just delicious. And that's on my YouTube channel. You can watch the video. But that is a really, really delicious way of bridging flavors together. Another thing is jerk chicken. Many family members of mine are from Jamaica, and jerk chicken is really popular in Jamaica and other parts of the Caribbean. So what I decided to do was to pair that jerk chicken flavor with ramen noodles. I worked at a Japanese restaurant making ramen. That was my only job to do every day, was to make those noodles. And so I decided, why don't I pair those flavors together? So I think it's a unusual, unexpected way of approaching food, but it definitely does speak to my heart when I think about the food I love to eat, the food that brings me back to a place I've lived in or a place I traveled or the people that I love. So really, there are many different ways that I do that every single day, but I love to surprise people with those international fusion flavors.
That sounds great. Let's go to one of our callers now at 800-642-1234. Colin is on the line in Dubuque, Iowa. Colin, hi.
Hey, how are you guys doing?
Good. What do you want to tell us about Colin or ask us about?
Well, I have two quick questions. First of all, I was just going to ask for a general recipe. I know you just mentioned salmon croquettes. Well, I was wondering how much different that is from, like, your traditional fish cake, like a salmon cake or crab cake, and maybe just kind of a general recipe. Then the other question was, I wanted to ask if he has ever put ketchup on his mac and cheese.
Ketchup on mac and cheese. Let's start there and then move on to our salmon croquettes, Lazarus.
Yeah, let's start with the ketchup on the mac and cheese. Thanks, Colin, for your questions. So I don't put ketchup on my mac and cheese, but my family puts hot sauce on their mac and cheese.
Oh, yeah, that's good.
You know, it's a very classic thing to do. It's like the Beyonce song, "Have Hot Sauce in My Bag." I mean, my brother literally carries hot sauce with him in his bag, in his book bag. It's just a thing that we do. So, but my family in Europe loves to put ketchup on literally everything and anything. So I think to each their own. I personally just have it straight up, you know, mac and cheese, nothing else. For croquettes, though, really good question. So a salmon croquette and, you know, crab cake or salmon cake, very, very similar. Both use a binder, which is egg. So it helps it to stay together and form into the shape of, you know, the patty. But with a croquette, you know, you're frying it on both sides, just as you would with a salmon cake or a crab cake. But the texture of the meat is a little bit different. So, you know, with a croquette, it's usually a little bit flatter. You're usually pan frying it on both sides. And you're usually using some kind of cornmeal or some sort of flour. With a salmon cake, it's a little bit thicker. It's literally, you know, more cake sized compared to a croquette, which is generally a little bit flatter. My father used to hand shape his salmon croquettes in his hand, and my father had pretty large hands, so it was probably about a 6-inch diameter salmon croquette. But a really easy recipe, if I can just give it to you in 30 seconds,
sure,
is you take salmon in a can, remove all the bones, you add bell peppers, red bell pepper, green bell peppers, chop them up very finely, a little bit of onion grated, and then you're going to also add some garlic powder, some salt, and some pepper. You can use 2 eggs to bind it together, and then just crate them into patties, and then you want to form them into the rounds, and then dredge them in some self-rising flour, a combination of self-rising flour and cornmeal, yellow cornmeal, and then just pan fry it in some canola oil for about, you know, 4 minutes on each side, just until both sides are golden brown and crisp. And it's a very, very easy and delicious salmon croquette.
Hope that helps, Colin. We're talking to Lazarus Lynch, a.k.a. the son of a Southern chef. A lot of recipes on the Central Time Facebook page. Back to our callers with Pat in Green Bay. Pat, hi.
Hi. Yes, here's a question on making fish. I drove in Tennessee one time, and at a small grill in the country, I had the best fried fish I've ever had. I asked the cook how she makes it, and I think she just said flour, ordinary things, but she said it turns out best on a dry day. It depends on how much humidity there is. So my questions are, do you agree with that, and what is your favorite preparation? Is flour and cornmeal the best, or do you have a lighter breading?
Pat, thanks. Fried fish, big issue here in Wisconsin, Lazarus. Go for it.
Okay. Here's your 911 fried chicken. You know, my father made fried chicken every single day at his restaurant.
Ooh, fried fish she's going for. I'm sorry.
Fried fish. My father made fried fish every single day at his restaurant. He served it with his tartar sauce and on 2 pieces of bread, and people loved it. And, you know, I agree that the humidity can affect the way that the fish is cooked. But what I would do is I like to pat it dry. Once I wash the fish, I pat it completely dry, and I use a combination of self-rising flour. It's really important that you use self-rising flour because it has baking powder inside of it, so it helps it to be a little bit crisper on the outside. And I season that with some Old Bay seasoning, or you can use some paprika, some garlic powder, salt, pepper, some rosemary, oregano, and some thyme. And I use that. I dredge the fish on both sides. And my father used to fry it in soybean oil. And if you don't have soybean oil, you can use a vegetable oil. You can use a corn oil. You just want an oil that has a higher smoking point, such as a soybean or a peanut oil, for example, which has a higher smoking point. So that just means that it can stay hotter at a consistent temperature for a longer period of time. So you can cook a lot of fried fish back to back. And that is, you know, and then once it comes out, you drain it and put a little bit of salt on the top, and it's delicious.
Thanks for the call, Pat. Time for one more quick call from John in Caledonia, Minnesota. John, hi.
Hey, how you guys doing?
Good.
I just couldn't. I had to pull over. I just had their comments. I'm a certified executive chef living in Minnesota, but I've had the pleasure of living in Fort Worth, Texas, and Richmond, Virginia. So south and south, they don't combine. But the people up here just don't know the great flavor of the ground sassafras, the gumbo file, as they call it up here. I mean, I've made some incredible soups and some different gumbos and all kinds of great southern New Orleans dishes that just people just don't have it up here. They just don't get it.
John, thanks a lot. And Lazarus, briefly as we wrap up, you're trying to help us spread the love there in New York and now here to us in Wisconsin.
Absolutely. And, you know, I think Southern cuisine is one of those cuisines that brings people together. It's all about family. It's all about comfort food. It's all about communal styles of eating. And, you know, that's what I'm trying to do here in New York City amongst my generation, millennials, and also try to spread that everywhere that I can. So it's been a pleasure. It's been a pleasure speaking with you, Rob. And thanks for sharing time.
And real quick, Lazarus, maybe your next experiment, what are you going to try combining next?
You know, I've been thinking about combining, doing something with sushi, because I love sushi, and perhaps pairing that with something Southern. Haven't quite figured it out yet, but that's to come.
I think deep fried okra in a sushi roll sounds really good to me.
Oh, that's, there you go.
Boom.
That's it.
All right, Lazarus, thank you. Lazarus, thank you so much for joining us. It's been a lot of fun.
Thank you so much.
That was the son of a Southern chef, Lazarus Lynch, sharing some classic and contemporary Southern recipes with us. You can see some of his recipes, actually a bunch of them, on the Central Time Facebook page or at WPR.org. Let me run through. We didn't get to curry cauliflower fritters with cilantro yogurt sauce. We've got a link to his, I think, a video on that one. He's got a fried fish sandwich. He talked a little bit about that. And some Dr. Pepper sesame ribs. So if you're wondering what you're going to cook this weekend, look no further. Find some links at WPR.org or on the Central Time Facebook page. While you're on the Facebook page, if you have a love of Southern cuisine, think it's underappreciated up here in the Midwest, we'd sure like you to tell us about that too. Again, that's on the Central Time Facebook page or tweet us at Central Time WPR.